Good afternoon. I'm very pleased to be here to tell you about some work myself and my colleagues have been doing. It's my colleague Teresa Baumke and Anne Netton who's here with us today. And I'll just be reporting today on one strand of a larger project, which was a collaboration with our colleagues from LSE, Linda Pickard and Derek King. And before getting into the detail of the project, I'd like to set the context first with the first few slides. Okay, so for the purposes of this work, the definition we use for unpaid carers was this. So a person who provides support or help to a friend or neighbour or relative who's elderly, has a long-term illness, mental health problem or disability. And of course disability would include physical disability, learning disability and sensory impairments. And does not include individuals providing help in a professional capacity. So unlike Whitney's work, we're not including care workers. And although caring for somebody can be rewarding, it can sometimes mean that carers have little time to attend to their own well-being. And there's sort of growing recognition of the contribution of carers in the UK policy domain. So there were two carer strategies published in 2008 and 2010. And just the fact that they've been published acknowledges the impact of providing care has on the lives of carers. And it demonstrates a cross-party commitment to improving support for carers, which is great news. And then this was further strengthened by the Care Act, which recognises in law for the first time that carers have equal rights as service users to have their needs as citizens met. And that includes the right to have their needs assessed and where appropriate services provided. Okay, so after the 2008 care strategy was published, the Department of Health commissioned myself and my colleagues to develop a self-completion survey for carers to be administered via local authorities. The survey was managed and collated by the Health and Social Care Information Centre. And at this stage, it wasn't mandatory for them to take part, so 90 out of the 152 in England took part, although since then it has become mandatory since 2012, so, and it's collected every 2 years, so we're going to have some nice cross-sectional data coming through. The sample was carers who'd received assessment or review in the last 12 months, but such a small proportion of carers receive an assessment, we wanted to capture more carers, so we also included carers of service users who'd had an assessment or review in the last 12 months. And so, of course, the findings I'm presenting today are based on a particular subsample of carers, that is, carers of social care service users, and so that they might not be generalisable to all carers in the population. Okay, so we had, from those 90 local authorities, an eligible population of 175,600. Once sampling was undertaken by local authorities, it was a random sample of 87,801. And that gleaned 35,165 respondents, which is 40% response rate. But for carers, that's not bad. They're busy people. And within those, there were 2,794 respondents from black and minority ethnic groups, which is 8%, which was lower than what we'd expect from looking at census data, as about 15% BME population now in the UK. But one of the things that we'll get to later is that social care services are not always as engaged with BME population as we'd like. So within the survey, we had some questions which were related to the carer and careful person's characteristics, questions about service use, some questions about their views on the service quality, and also questions relating to different aspects of quality of life. And here are the domains of quality of life down the left-hand side. Originally, some colleagues of ours, Dr. Jaquetta Holder and Nick Smith, developed seven domains, and as you can see, time and space was one that was particularly pertinent to carers, and also encouragement and support. However, the people running the survey decided that that was too similar to one of the other questions and wanted to reduce the length, and so that wasn't included in everybody's surveys, and so the analysis doesn't include that question. Now, it may look familiar to those of you that are aware of the ASCOT tool. There are some similarities, but some important differences, and we're going to be talking about those tomorrow at 3:30. Is that right? 3:15. Don't be late. Okay. So each of these domains had three response levels, and it would represent the ideal state, having some needs and having no needs. And these examples relate to the occupation domain. So it's not occupation as in what do you do for a living, it's what you do with your time. And so if you're in an ideal state, you can spend your time doing whatever you want. Lovely. Wish we could all have that. Okay. So then we've done some similar sort of factor analytical work, in which we summed the six domains there, except time and space, and found that it hangs together nicely as one outcome measure, which we've called carer social care related quality of life, or carer scroll, and so we were able to calculate a composite measure of quality of life. So why is looking at carers' outcomes relevant now? The 2011 census showed that there's increasing ethnic diversity. Since the 2001, it's gone up quite a lot. The combination of ageing and ethnically diverse population will have significant implications for the shape of future demand of social care services. However, in a climate of fiscal restraint, increasing reliance on unpaid carers is likely, and there are relatively few UK-based studies comparing the outcomes of carers from different ethnic groups. So it's timely, I hope. Okay, so we did some preliminary analysis because some work by Pinkart and Sorensen in the US in 2005 suggests that perhaps differences in demographic profiles of minority ethnic groups might be what's leading them to have lower quality of life. So we looked at the structure of the sample, and we focused on white British, Asian British, black British carers, as this group consisted of large enough numbers for comparisons. However, we do recognise that there's considerable diversity within these groups too, and it's just the numbers are too small. And probably next time we look at some of the larger white non-British groups, such as Polish and Irish. But that's next time. So then, as you can see on this slide, the white British carers were more likely to be caring for a spouse and be caring when they're in their early 60s. Asian British carers are more likely to be caring for an adult child, be between mid-40s and age 60. And black British carers were also more likely to be caring for an adult child, were more likely to be caring in their mid-40s and then get caught again in their 70s, probably for a spouse that time. Okay, and this is probably due to this underlying age profile being different. BME carers tend to be younger, and BME population tends to have a younger age profile. So obviously we knew we need to take this into account. So the other thing we need to take into account, differences in access to services. Compared to white British carers, BME carers found it more difficult to access information. That was particularly Asian and Asian British carers, more so than black British. And this reiterates findings of our colleagues, Jill Manthorpe and Joe Moriarty, who found differences in BME carers' access to information. They also found it more difficult to access services, especially services that would enable them to take a break. And notably, Asian, Asian British carers were more likely to report that when there were services available to allow them to take a break from caring, they weren't suitable. So obviously there are some issues around culturally appropriate services. So because of these differences in the structure of the sample, before I get to that, those findings on this slide here were particularly important because the Equality Act that was brought in 2010 placed a new duty on public organisations to remove or minimise disadvantages experienced by people sharing a protected characteristic. Here are the list of protected characteristics, and it includes race. And so I think probably local authorities would welcome information that would help them address any shortcomings in particular groups that they're not really accessing as much. So we wanted to make sure that the different structure of the sample was taken into account, so we used a two-level, multi-level modelling approach. And level one was at the individual level, so all these varied characteristics, also the service quality variables went in there, so the access to services and information. And then we also wanted to put in the local authority level factors, such as mean wage and things like that, because obviously carers living within a particular local authority area might be more similar than carers living in a different local authority because of the characteristics of their local area and the services and the policies that their local authority have toward carers. So we wanted to add that in just to make sure. However, we probably could have got away with not bothering because it was 96% of the variation in carer squall was at the individual level and only less than about 3% was at the local authority level. So here come the findings. So I've got the factors associated with squall and comparisons between the largest ethnic groups. So it's interesting to note that the only service variable that went in for everybody was access to carer services. That was significant. And it's carer services rather than services to the service user. And it wasn't about what they got, it was how easy it was to get. And so those that were reporting they found it easy to access carer services generally had a better quality of life. And you'll notice that for the white British, there are more factors that are associated with having low quality of life than for other groups. However, there are some in which everybody is in agreement. So let's look at similarities. You can always come back to the slide if you'd like. So, having poor self-rated health and caring for more than 20 hours a week and having difficulty accessing carer services were associated with low carer scroll in all across the ethnic groups that we looked at. So I think, there are some clear messages there to national and local policymakers about not overburdening carers, perhaps providing some support so they're not caring for so many hours a week. And also, interestingly, as health and social care come ever closer, the importance of carers' health and making sure that they're in good health is also very important. Making access to carer services easier too. So let's look at some of the differences. Providing personal care and being in employment, being under 65, are all associated with low carer scroll for white British and black British, but not Asian British carers. Wonder why that might be. We'll get to that. And being female, cohabiting with a cared for person and caring for someone with dementia are associated with low carer scroll for white British carers only, not the other groups. So these are quite interesting findings, and so I'd like to open the floor. We've got a couple of ideas of what we think is going on, and a couple of caveats as well about the results, really. These are the first analysis of this kind that we've attempted, and of course we need to repeat it with subsequent collections of the survey in 2012 and 2014 will be available soon, and we can test out whether this pattern remains true. And the results might be useful for planning at strategic level, but obviously individual circumstances should always be considered. We're not for one moment suggesting to withdraw services for Asian carers because they're fine on their own. In fact, they've got the lowest quality of life overall. So it's quite interesting that there's only a couple of dimensions which are related to their low quality of life. So yeah, in our discussion, we'd looked at some of the literature, and there's some literature about, you know, the level of acceptance of traditional gender roles, because it was the white British carers that were being female was related to low quality of life, but not the other ethnic groups. So perhaps there's something underlying going on there. Similarly, cultural norms around family cohabitation, because it was only the white group that cohabitation was a significant factor. And again, it was only the white group, I think, that was, when they're caring for someone with dementia, it's related to lower quality of life. And so I think there might be something going on about the way older people are viewed and the respect and, you know, attitudes towards dementia, perhaps. And also the attitudes towards filial responsibility about caring for your parents when they're older might have something to do with these sort of quite unusual findings. And so I'd be really interested to hear what your thoughts are, and I'm hoping we'll have some time for discussion, perhaps after the next presentation, but also afterwards on Twitter. There's this hashtag if you want to talk to me about what you think is going on in these findings. I'd be really keen to hear your thoughts about it. Or if not, you can just email me and we can talk about it over email. And I really appreciate your time and attention today. Thank you very much.